Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I look at him and a lot like Coach Nagy. He's a young, bright offensive mind. I think, you know, he really knows how to put his team and his players in position to succeed. And you look at their whole team, Jeff, it's a well-coached team, and we know we got our hands full tonight.
Are you kidding me? Uh-huh. Sort of around the same age, maybe that. Not even close. Not the same atmosphere. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was Bears general manager, unfortunately, Ryan Pace on Bears Radio, the pregame yesterday. This hour on The Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Phone lines are open if you guys want to jump in. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We'll talk to Aaron Lemming from the Bear Report coming up in 15 minutes. Rick Camp, the EP tonight. What did you dig up? You were so interested on a specific aspect about Ryan Pace's tenure here. You wanted to dig up some info. What do you got for us?
Well, you were talking about how ineffective Trubisky, Miller, and Montgomery were. And as, you know, three actual instances of in the first half of the draft where Pace was willing to draft an offensive player, I wanted to look up at the total capital that it took to draft those three guys. And it was okay. The original number three pick, a second round pick, three thirds, two fourths, and a fifth.
So for the three, we can throw that out the window because that was a swap, right?
Right. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I was counting, I was even counting the pick that it took to get the person because you're essentially saying just to get the guy. So I'm counting the actual pick that it took to get each guy. So if you want to take those out of the equation, you're looking at two extra thirds, two extra fourths, and an extra fifth to get three guys that are supposed to be cornerstones of your offense that have not been.
Two threes, two fours, and a five, right?
Correct. Because with Miller, it was technically a fourth rounder in that draft, but they traded their second rounder from the next draft to move from the fourth into the second.
And the other part is, so maybe this is even more impactful than that. So, yeah, he missed on a bunch. Those are some mid-round guys. Those are five potential swings. I won't even count the fifth. Two threes, two fours. That's four mid-round swings that he missed on by moving up to get those three guys. And he's missed on all of them. I get so much pushback. I hear from so many Bears fans that get mad when I suggest this, when I'm not willing to say, oh, Bears 100% won the Khalil Mack trade. 100%. It's not as simple as saying Mack versus the players that the Raiders ended up with. Because if the Bears were in those spots, if they had those draft picks, chances are they wouldn't have drafted those specific players. And I think you should wait and see what happens, right? Because What happens down the road when you compile all of these years without these first round picks? And I know you had the extra two last year, but you didn't have a one because of it too. So when we look down the road 5 years from now, when you've got all these seasons, all these drafts without first round picks, how's that going to impact the team? How's that going to hurt you down the road? How's your depth look? At some point, it's going to be bad. But when is that? Is Ryan Pace still going to be here for that? So, and now you're paying him a lot of money, too. That's the other part. Have you won with them? They've won some regular season games. They haven't won a playoff game with him. And it's year three. So I'm not saying that Khalil Mack has been bad. Year two in 2019, that was his worst season with the Bears. This year, he looks better than in 2018. But there's only so much you can do as a defensive player. You'll never have the impact that you would as the quarterback, and the ball's not touching your hands for the most part. So what can you do? I mean, edge rushers, yeah, they're important. They're very important. But you gave up a lot for a great edge rusher. A lot. And thus far, you haven't won with them. Maybe they're going to win a lot. Maybe. But think the whole thing through. Instead of saying, oh, Bears won. Bears got the best player in the draft. They won that trade. Bears got the best player in the trade. They won that. They won one. No, there are a lot of different layers to this. So let's see how it all plays out. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Perry in Orland Park. Now on 670, the score with Joe Ostrowski. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Good evening, man. Hey, you know, I want to say that before I get on Nagy and Pace, this is endemic with the Bears organization. I want to know who's picking Pace to begin with. That's the problem. The higher-up don't know who to pick. As a result, you've got a GM who's obviously learning on a job, who's made too many mistakes to talk about. And then you've got a coach who, you know, I gave him a break last year with Mitch being quarterback to run a system, but you can't hide what's going on. There is definitely no originality, and this offense is pathetic. So now you've got, like you said, you know, who won the trade with Mac? That's a strange question, because if you have a GM that can build around that and put together a team, then the Bears win. But with this guy putting together a team, they lose that trade because you've lost some high talent because you can't find guys to work with the guy to make the team better. So, anyway, that's my point.
Thanks, Perry. Appreciate it. Be safe on the roads. Perry brings up an excellent point initially about who is selecting Ryan Pace. Think about this. So, your business is the Bears. You're the McCaskies. That's what you do. They knew their GM wasn't it. The last dude. He hit on a couple players, but he also took Shane McClellan in the first round. He wasn't it. They knew for a couple of, and he was so bad that he was gone quickly, Phil Emery. And they're so clueless on who are the up-and-comers in the league. Like, are you talking to other owners? Are you investigating the good teams? Like, where are the assistant general managers? Where are the top scouts? Where are they? That you need to go get somebody, you need to bring somebody else in, like Ernie Accorsi, what they did, to tell them who to hire. So what, you can blame Ernie Accorsi when it doesn't work out after 6-7 drafts, which is where we're at right now after 6 drafts, and he selected one quarterback when he said you should bring in a quarterback every year until you fix the position? Did you pass the buck to Ernie Accorsi? I mean, that's clueless. You don't know where to go? Let's bring in a former Giants general manager, and he'll tell us who to hire, because we don't know. This is your business. I don't know. I think the GM hire is pretty important, and you're going to pay somebody to make that decision for you? That's weak. How many teams are doing that? I don't fault people that blame the McCaskies. I don't fault you for one damn second. There are a lot of people on these airwaves that will laugh you off the air. I won't do that. They love to talk about their rich history. Tell me about their rich history when I've been alive. I'm in my 40s. I haven't seen a lot of winning. When I was really little, I saw them win a Super Bowl. Really little. Other championship before that was 1963. Don't tell me about your rich history. Stop. Let's stop. It's not the 30s and the 40s anymore. It's 2020. And they're still designing teams like they're in the 30s and 40s. It's not about the running backs and the linebackers, guys. It's not. No joke, Rick. I think it resonated with some people because it got a lot of interaction on Twitter last night at Joe0670. But it's every year of my life. I'm watching Bears games, and I know there's no way they're going to score on offense. And I'm hoping for a defensive score. Can we get a strip sack? How are we going to get 6 on special teams from Devin Hester? How are we going to get 6 on defense?
You're telling me that Cardinals game doesn't happen every year?
That's one instance.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, like, that's where you're at as a Bears fan.
Right. That's the recent Bears tradition. You know, the Bears lean on tradition so much. But now, like, really, what, the past since 85, essentially, outside of the couple years with Trestman, it's your offense is brutal and your defense and special teams need to do everything. And then you got to see the funhouse mirror version of the other side when the defense was giving up 50 burgers everywhere, but at least you had a somewhat competent offense. And it's like they can't center themselves at any point in the last, what, 30, 35 years? Is that bad?
I want to believe that George, after hanging out in the South lots pre-COVID, has figured out that you need a quarterback to win in this league. I want to believe that, but I'm not positive he gets it. I mean, I guess the hire of Matt Nagy, but did they make the call? It was more Ryan Pace. Would lead you to believe that they know they need to score points if they want to win. The glaring part about that is, when you build your team around a defense, I mean, the game has changed so much that you can have a good defense and you can win a lot of regular season games. And I know in the past we've seen number one defenses like the Patriots in recent memory win the Super Bowl, but you also had Tom Brady. You had the guy. You had the signal caller. That's what you need. If you build a great defense, cool. Okay, we're going to be competitive. But are you going to win the Super Bowl? When I have a good quarterback, I know I'm going to be in the mix every single year. That's a guarantee, as long as that player can stay healthy. If you have a great defense 1 year, it's very hard to repeat defensive performances because you need to have a lot of luck with injuries, and you need some turnover luck. We lived that with Lovie Smith. We saw it in 2018. You need a lot of things to go your way. A lot of times, chances are you're going to see some massive regression like we saw in 2019. So here we are in 2020, and Matt Nagy's offense is getting worse 40 games in as a play caller. Coming up next, we'll check in with the Bear Report's Aaron Lemming. I want to get his thoughts on what he saw last night and just the overall state of the Chicago Bears. This is Joe Ostrowski. You've got 670 The Score in the Radio.com app.
Safety's back, corners off. Four-man rush, snap, Bulls. Winds up, down the right side, pass thrown up in the air and intercepted. Just to throw him up and get it, ball. And the Rams take it away. It is swiped out of play by Jalen Ramsey.
Jeff Joniak on the call last night, WBBM Bears Radio. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670. The Score, thanks for hanging out. In a few minutes, we'll check in with Aaron Lemming from the Bear Report to get his thoughts on last night's ugly loss For your Chicago Bears, sitting at 5-2 on the year, and that's the positive news, right? That's the positive news that we have, because everything else, literally, was there anything to build off of last night in that game? Was there a shred of anything to be happy about? It really didn't feel like there was. I'm trying to think back. Offensively, I mean, you put up 3 points on the board. The final score looked better because of what Eddie Jackson was able to do. What do you know the Bears' defense scores?
Darnell Mooney was able to get open a couple times.
I talked to a few people during the week that wanted to bet defensive touchdown. It was 3-1 by either team. So I wonder what the Bears one was at. It had to be 5-1. Yeah, Mooney was there. Ryan Pace, did he have a bad offseason? So you come off a loss, and we're going to rip Pace. We're going to rip Nagy. And both of those guys absolutely deserve it right now. But I've said this, and I'll be consistent with it until proven otherwise. If we want to use the small sample size of one offseason, I think Pace has actually had a decent offseason because Graham has already surpassed anything that I thought he was going to be. And it looks like, I don't know, it's going to hinge on Cole Kmet, but Jalen Johnson is a player. I mean, in a shortened offseason, he has stepped in, played opposite Fuller, and they are arguably the best cornerback tandem in the NFL. And maybe there's something there with Mooney, but I'm hesitant to go there because I want to see more. I feel like we saw some spots out of Anthony Miller a couple of years ago, and we were saying the same thing. So I'm real hesitant to go there. Not there yet. Let's see. More consistency. On a regular basis, can we get to 50 yards? Can we do that? 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Joe Oshow here with you. Let's start on the north side. George, you're up on 670 The Score. Hello, George.
Yeah, my thoughts are, I think if you ask Sean McVay which quarterback he'd rather have to run his offense, the offense he ran last night against a defensive front like the Bears, he would much rather have Mitchell Trubisky than he would Nick Foles. And my point is,
yes,
if the Bears ran an offense that resembled something like what McVay did last night with his athletic quarterback that's sitting on the bench, I think the outcome would have been much different. And I think we know what Nick Foles can do, and we still have an opportunity now that you've looked at both Foles in this offense and now you've seen Trubisky in this offense. I just think there's more upside where we really need to find out what Trubisky can do because we know what Foles can do and what he can't do.
Thank you, George. I think the better question would be, would Sean McVay rather have his current quarterback Goff, or would he rather have Mitchell Trubisky? Because maybe he can do the same stuff. I couldn't help but think that last night watching that game. Man, if the Bears had Sean McVay, if the Bears had an innovative offensive mind that wasn't completely stubborn on running his offense and would play to his quarterback's strengths, not that Trubisky, I think, is an all-pro or anything like that, but maybe he'd still be on the field. 312-644-6767. Okay, good. Aaron Lemming's there. Let's check in with our buddy Aaron Lemming at Aaron Lemming NFL on Twitter. Check out his work, CBS Sports Bear Report. What's going on, Aaron?
What's going on, Joe? How are we doing, man?
Oh, we're hanging in there. You know, those primetime spots they get so ugly, and people are so fired up. Like everything that you tweet out with a Bears audience, like both of us have, you more than even me. It's like, yeah, people get fired up, and they are not happy. They have every reason to be upset. What was most tilting for Aaron Lemming watching those 3 hours?
Well, I think coming out again for what feels like, you know, the 15th time, obviously they've been through 7 games, but, you know, for, I would say the 5th time. I mean, obviously they jumped out to a little bit of a lead with the Giants and the same thing with the Panthers, but coming out the 5th time in a row, flat. I don't understand, you know, it's like Matt Nagy before the game started talked about how they needed to get off to a good start offensively. We hear the same thing week in and week out, whether it's before the game or the press conference after the game. The fact that they continue to be so flat offensively is just mind-blowing. I mean, just the you know, and it kind of reached this point last year, and I think maybe a lot of people forgot because the quarterback kind of took the focus of everything. But, I mean, there was a decent point last year where it was like, okay, maybe, just maybe, Matt Nagy is the issue as a play call. Obviously, there's other issues. There's a ton of issues on offense. But maybe one of the bigger issues that they need to take a look into that they haven't changed, the only thing that they haven't changed at this point, is Matt Nagy's a play caller. Just the predictability, the lack of actual creativity, not just, you know, all the fluff and smoke and mirrors that he's doing, but the actual lack of creativity. It's just, it's mind blowing. I don't understand how this offense can score 3 points. And don't get me wrong, the Rams have a solid defense. I'm not knocking them, but you score 3 offensive points in a Monday Night Football game and you're 5-1. It just doesn't make any sense.
3 points in this NFL, Aaron, scoring is up across the board. Every rule is to your advantage. And talk more about the lack of imagination that we see here from Matt Nagy. Where is it most evident to you, or is it just across the board?
I think it's across the board. I mean, I think you can start with the run game, and you can look at that, and you can say, why are you running so much inside zone? Why is it a consistent issue throughout the last few years? Okay, first, again, we're going back to looking at Matt Nagy coming in and saying, okay, this guy doesn't fit the offense, this guy doesn't fit the offense, this guy doesn't fit the offense. The first guy that didn't fit the offense, Jordan Howard. Okay, you look at him, and it's like he had productivity under John Fox, and all of a sudden, you know, you start running more inside zone with Jordan Howard, and all of a sudden he starts failing. So you bring in David Montgomery. David Montgomery is not doing well. They're running inside zone consistently. It doesn't make any sense to me. There's no creativity with the run game whatsoever. Anytime that Cordarrelle Patterson is in the game, lined up as a running back, you know exactly what they're doing. They're running inside – or running outside, I'm sorry. And it's just – so you've got that. Then you've got obviously the pass game where – the only times that they're willing to take any deep shots is when they're down, you know, 14, 17 points. And it's just, there's so many different issues with this offense right now. When you look and you say, okay, even this stuff with Nick Foles, I understand he's better out of the shot. And I get that the lack of mobility is there, whatever, but running every single play out of the shotgun and doing the same thing, it's so easy to tell what they're doing. It's like, if we can sit at home and watch the game and say, oh, okay, well, they're going to run, or they're going to, you know, they're going to pass depending on the play. Then obviously, you know, an NFL defense and NFL coaches are going to be able to look at that and diagnose it. And this isn't just – and that's the thing. That's the thing that really bothers me about all of this. This isn't just a sample size. This isn't just 7 games of the season or a few games of the season. This has been consistently going on for at least 2 years. I mean, you can make an argument that things somewhat improved in 2018. I think everybody was just glad to see John Fox gone. But when you look at 2019 and the start of this year, I mean, it has been an absolute dumpster fire. And I think a lot of people forget Matt Nagy was lauded for his offensive mind. He came from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and yet here we are.
As you talk about guys moving on from people that don't fit your system, I'm having flashbacks to Greg Olsen not fitting in Mike Martz's system. Then we watch the rest of his career, what he was doing elsewhere away from the Bears. And you are right. I said that earlier in the show. It has been 2 full years. We can talk about how successful he was in 2018, coach of the year, executive of the year with Ryan Pace. But the second half of the season, they were not scoring points. So he said that play calling is not the issue. They have a build a consensus. They talk about it. That's the first thing they look at. That's what he said today to our very own Chris Emma. Like, really? That's the first thing you look at? First off, the offensive coordinator that you bring in, that you just brought in, you think he's going to come to you and say, hey, head coach, you are the problem. Anybody else should be calling plays, but not you. I mean, Aaron, part of the argument of pulling Mitchell Trubisky was he had his time. He had 43, 44 starts or whatever it was here in Chicago. Well, Matt Nagy's had 40 games as an offensive coordinator, and they're bottom 5 consistently now for the last 2 years in just about every statistical category.
Well, and that's the issue, right? I mean, and that's kind of the thing, and it's tough for a lot of people to look at Matt Nagy, the head coach, and Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, because that's really – there's 2 vast differences, and I'm not saying Matt Nagy, the head coach, is perfect, but I do think that he is a good head coach. But again, we're reaching that point when we're looking at this offense, and you've seen all these changes. You've seen multiple changes, whether it's running back, whether it's receiver, whether it's quarterback, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the coaching staff. You've seen everything around the Bears offense change except for two things: Matt Nagy, the play caller, and their actual production. Those are the two things that have remained the same throughout the entire thing. I'm not saying it's an easy fix. They've got issues on the offensive line. Ryan Pace looked at this offensive line, objectively looked at this offensive line through the offseason, said, yeah, we're just going to throw a, you know, a former first-round pick castaway back at his original position at guard, and we'll just call it a day. That's it. That's all we need. He hasn't spent one first or second-round pick, not even really even a top, you know, five-round pick on an offensive tackle. And this is a situation that the Bears are dealing with now where you have all this money tied up within the defense. You have all this money tied up in guys like Charles Leno and Bobby Massey. And, you know, I'm not going to dog too much on Cody White here. I think he's had somewhat of a tough year, but, you know, it is what it is. He's been a really good player. But you have all this money tied up in certain positions. They go out and they spend, you know, the $9 million guaranteed on Jimmy Graham, right? They go out and they spend $14 million a year average on a guy like Robert Quinn. And then we saw last night where Leonard Floyd has two sacks, and what does Robert Quinn have? You know, it's just those are the kind of things that really kind of come to a head. And again, they're 5-2, but the problem, and you've seen it, I've seen it, you know, we can all debate it, we can all talk about it, but the reality is the consensus, whether it's national media, whatever it may be, around the league with the Bears right now is – it's a fraudulent 5-1. It's a fraudulent 5-2. And you're looking at it and you wonder, how did they win some of these games? How did they beat the Bucs? And then the Bucs come out the next week and beat Green Bay. I don't know. And again, here's the reality. I mean, they're 5-2. They've got a very favorable schedule over the second half of the year after they get past these next two games. I mean, they've got Minnesota for two games. They've got Detroit for a game. They've got Jacksonville for a game. They've got Houston for a game. I mean, those are five very winnable games in the second half of the season. But the reality is even if they finish 9 or 10 wins, we're kind of past that point where we're looking at it when, you know, in 2010 to 2019, they made the playoffs twice, right? We're kind of past that point. We're looking and we're saying, okay, you put all your eggs in one basket. You've done all this different stuff. You're tied against the cap. You've hardly had any first or second round picks over the last few years because of the Mac deal. Is 9 or 10 wins good enough if you get into the playoffs and you get the crap kicked out of the first round? Because that's the reality of the situation right now, because the Bears can't score points. And this has been a consistent issue. And it's just, it's almost the same thing on replay over and over and over. And it's, to me, it seems obvious. I mean, if you look at the different teams around the league right now, you don't have to go out and draft a quarterback. You don't have to, you know, there's veteran options. There's veteran options this offseason. But at the same time, you've got to start making the right decisions at key areas. One of those is offensive line, you know, tight end's another one, and obviously the quarterback situation where Matt Nagy handpicked his guy in Nick Foles because of familiarity, and this is what we're getting. Yes.
Aaron, George says, Aaron Lemming, I'm giving you the power. Do whatever you want tomorrow. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, at this point, what is there – and that's kind of the issue, though. What can they really do? I mean – if it was me personally, I'd be bringing in Quentin Spain. I mean, you're not going to go out and get some, you know, all pro offensive lineman of any sort, but you got to start bringing in guys. Here's the thing. Rashad Coward, not a start in this league. Sam Mustipher, not a start in this league. Alex Bars, not a start in this league. So you got to start there. You got to start trying to improve some way, shape or form. I think the reality of the situation is quite simple. I mean, really there's no easy fix right now. If it was me, I'm telling Matt Nagy, I don't care who you give it to. You just hired a bunch of new guys in your offensive coaching staff. Point one of them and tell them you're the new offensive coordinator. You're the new play caller. You are going to be running this offense. You become the head coach. You turn the offense over to somebody else. So I think that's where you got to start. But again, the reality is they're in such a situation where even if they wanted to make a move with the trade deadline, they don't have the cap space to do it. They need to be able to roll that over in the next year, and then they got their own issues next year. So, I mean, a lot of this is going to come down to kicking money farther down the road, kicking the can farther down the road and figuring out, do we want to draft a quarterback? Are we going to be in a decent position to be able to draft a quarterback? And that's another serious question right now. Obviously, we have to see how that's going to pan out with the draft. Or do you try to pursue somebody like Dak Prescott and give them close to $40 million a year? Do you make a move for maybe a surprise guy that may be out there like a Matt Ryan or maybe a Derek Carr or somebody like that? I mean, but again, that all costs money. And these are the kind of situations that you put yourself into when you spend recklessly during these off seasons in certain situations. So I wish I had an easy answer for you, but the thing is they're going to have to get creative. And luckily I'm not an NFL GM, because looking at it and doing the math, I mean, the only way that you can really make things right this offseason and do what you need to do really is probably signing a quarterback or trading for a quarterback of some sort without giving up a top-end pick. And you've got to sink multiple resources in, whether that's, you know, offensive tackle has got to be one. I mean, Bobby Massey and Charles Leno have been below average at best over the last 2 years. One of those guys, at least one of those guys, has to go. You've got to draft an offensive lineman. You've got to draft a receiver. You've got to draft a tight end. You've got to sign some guys. I mean, you've got to – all that money and all those resources that they poured into the defense over the last 2 years, which I don't – you know, okay, whatever. It is what it is. You've got to turn around and now pour all of that into the offense and make the offense the focus, much like the Bears did under Phil Emery when their defense went to crap and their offense was a lot better. That's the kind of focus that they have to have, because here's the reality. You're looking at this defense right now. There's a lot of talent there, but the problem is the age is getting up on a lot of these guys, whether it's Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks. I mean, there's multiple guys within this defense. Danny Trevathan's another one, where at some point you're going to run out of time. This is going to be the Lovie Smith Bears all over again when Trestman took over, and this defense is going to be too old after a certain point. I mean, it's just getting to the point where you've got to pour money in. You've got to kick the can down the road. If this is really your window and this is you're trying to win a Super Bowl with this roster without completely tearing down and rebuilding again, then you've got to figure it out on offense, and it all starts with a quarterback situation. And then from there, surrounding him with actual weapons, not these makeshift things that they have outside of Allen Robinson and, you know, Darnell Mooney and maybe Cole Kmet. I mean, there's so many things that they have to do, and they're going to hurt themselves in the long-term future. But if this is really their window, that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. As far as the quarterback, it's a desperate patchwork move with the trade they made for Nick Foles by listening to the head coach and building the consensus that he built by bringing in all of these assistants that have a history with Nick Foles. And, of course, they're going to say, yeah, go get Nick Foles. He's great. I've worked with him in the past. It was all by design by Matt Nagy. But, I mean, to sit here and say, well, Nagy doesn't have an offensive line. Where have the resources gone? This general manager, in 6 years, after saying he's going to address the position every year until he get it right, he's done it once. He used one draft pick, and we know that was a failure. And we can kill him all day for that, but he's done one. I have a bigger issue with just taking one swing. The offensive line was an issue last year. It was a big problem. And so we're going to address it by using a couple of seventh-round picks and bringing in a Fetty. In 2019, we didn't use a draft pick on the offensive line. 2018, they used a 2 on James Daniels, and that's worked out. And in 2017, they used a 5 on Morgan. Like, none of us should be surprised that the issues with this team are the positions that haven't been addressed by Ryan Pace in the draft.
Well, and that's the issue, right? I mean, and that's kind of – these are the kind of fallouts that you see when you make these moves. I mean, when we saw the same exact thing with Jay Cutler, when Jerry Angelo traded for Jay Cutler, and all of a sudden you don't have those first-round picks and you don't have some of those early-round picks. And we're seeing the same exact fallout with Khalil Mack. Right. And I'm not going to say the Khalil Mack trade was a bad move, because it wasn't. He's a great player. But the situation is simple. You make that move if you're sure you got your quarterback. The Bears were sure they had their quarterback, and, well, yeah, here we are. And, you know, it's just – that's the issue, right? Is, I mean, there's so many. It's not just the quarterback, you know, and obviously they made the wrong decision with Trubisky.
Right.
They've clearly made another wrong decision with Nick Foles. I mean, again, there's other options out there. We don't have 3 hours to go over that, because, I mean, I could talk about that for days as well. But you look at the different other positions within that offense, and you say, okay, you know, whatever. You know, throw running back out. It is what it is. That's debatable, you know, whose fault that is at this point. But, again, the offensive line, okay, so you've sunk a few picks in a guard, you know, some high-round picks in a guard. When was the last time you developed a tackle? Why didn't you take a tackle over the last few drafts when there was actually good talent out on the board when you were able to pick? And it's the same concept with, you know, again, tight end. It's like you look at, okay, so you made all the wrong moves at tight end, you know, and it's like you look at receiver. It's like, what have you, you know, obviously you trade for a pick and Anthony Miller, and, you know, you end up getting him, and you don't really, you know, it's not really a mortgage of future kind of move. But the dude is in year three and still lacks every detail possible for a receiver.
Yep.
I just, you know, okay, so then you bring in Darnell Mooney. You got some talent there. But for the most part, you have Allen Robinson, and you're hoping that Darnell Mooney, you know, projects into what they're hoping he's going to be. But outside of that, again, you look at it, what free agent moves have they made? What draft picks? What darts have they thrown at the board? It's like we always talk about Ryan Pace being so good in the, you know, the fourth and fifth round. But what darts has he thrown at the offense? And that's the thing you really have to go back and look at. Okay, Tariq Cohen. Outside of that, it's like everything that he's hitting it on, for the most part, outside of Mooney maybe this year, they're all defensive players. And that's, again, that's the larger issue. It's like, you know, we can sit here and talk about, okay, well, they haven't had any first-round picks, and obviously you'd like to see some of those work out. But look at their first-round picks. What have they done with those first-round picks? It's like the one real solid first-round pick that they had, and again, he didn't live up to expectation, was Leonard Floyd. When, well, we saw him last night. The problem is he was on the other side of the ball. And you, so you look at Roquan Smith, inconsistent, week in and week out. It's a, and that's kind of the thing. So you look at it, and it's like, okay, you know, there's, to me, there's core philosophical issues with what Ryan Pace has done. And again, okay, cool. It's great that you won Executive of the Year in 2018, but now we're in 2020 and we're looking at this. He has no offensive line. He has no quarterback. He's got a disgruntled receiver that he still has yet to sign, which is mind-blowing to me. That's your number one offensive playmaker, and yet somehow he's still not signed. And you've got all these issues, and you don't have the cap to fix them, and you've only got a certain amount of draft picks. This isn't a rebuilding team like the Miami Dolphins that has, you know, a number of first-round picks and, you know, all these different things that they can do, or even what the Browns had done, you know, a few years back when they had all the different picks. Obviously, you have to make the picks the right way. But the point being out of that is the Bears aren't in a position where they can sit here and say, okay, we're going to retool. Even like the Vikings. The Vikings may not be good this year, but I can promise you this right now. The Vikings are going to be very good over the next few years because they saw their window and they saw that they needed to make some changes and get rid of some veterans. The Bears haven't done that. The Bears are very, very quickly moving into that abyss where – you're middling 8-8. Okay. 8-8 a few years ago would have been great. You know, when we're looking at a 3-13 team, 8-8 would have been a huge accomplishment. But the reality of it is we thought we all thought this team was entering a Super Bowl window back in 2018. Yet we're in 2020. They don't have a quarterback. They got all these offensive line issues. They're 5-2 again. They're 5-2 and they're probably going to make the playoffs unless they have some massive collapse. But what good does that do at this point if you can't advance because your offense is that terrible?
If this offense doesn't have Allen Robinson, I mean, they're the Jets. There's just no doubt about it. They've got to bring him back, and that would be a major indictment on the organization if he's not back with the Bears and he decides to play with a talented quarterback elsewhere. With Aaron Lemming, BearReport.com. Aaron, they are missing Eddie Goldman, and it was so glaring last night. It's actually been glaring all season long because they are giving up more explosive plays via the run game than any other team in the NFL.
Yeah, it's it's kind of a thing. I mean, for me, it's kind of sit back. I'm like, man, obviously not you, but there's been a lot of people that I've gone back and forth with on Twitter, gone back and forth with multiple times on how valuable Eddie Goldman is in this defense. And So I will say this, right? Obviously, they're missing Eddie Goldman. They've got an issue against the run. The one thing that's really bothering me, though, when I'm watching their issues against the run, is a lot of the success that is happening from opposing teams right now are the fact that somehow, you know, these running backs are getting off the edge and into the second level with very, very minimal pressure from even the linebackers at this point. And that's the thing that's kind of bothering me is, and obviously, you know, Eddie Goldman would help to a certain extent, but I think that there's issues. And I think pretty much what you're seeing right now is you're seeing an aging linebacker in Danny Trevathan that, you know, in hindsight, again, you know, he was pretty dang good last year before he got hurt, but in hindsight, probably shouldn't have made that deal. If you're going to go sign somebody, you know, even if you're going to go cheaper, then I think Kevin Pierre-Lewis would have probably been the better option. But you're seeing an aging linebacker and Danny Trevathan, you're seeing an inconsistent, at times extremely good, and at times not very good, in Roquan Smith. And I think that you're kind of starting to see some of the warts of this defense.
Should they have kept Kwiatkowski?
Look at what Kwiatkowski's done with the Raiders. I mean, he's looked pretty dang good. And that's the thing. What's hilarious about Kwiatkowski, though, is all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I don't know what clicked, because one of the biggest issues with him was always in coverage. But I don't know what clicked, but all of a sudden, he's great in coverage. And it's just, I mean, it's fun. And again, we can criticize that, and I'll say I did want Kwiatkowski re-signed over Danny Trevathan, just simply for the age thing. I get why they made the move. But again, I think you're starting to see signs of an aging defense in some ways. But I think, you know, an even bigger issue right now that I'm seeing is just the coaching. Why is Bilal Nichols still lining up at nose tackle. He's one of their smallest defensive linemen. And again, you know, I get it. You got to do what you got to do. But if John Jenkins isn't the guy, then why aren't you going out there trying to make another move? But this is what I will say. You know, the Bears defense is far from the issue right now. They have their warts. They're not the 2018 defense. You know, okay, that's fine. They're still really dang good. The problem right now, obviously, is that their offense is so bad and they put so much pressure on the defense. And we saw it last night where they're losing the field position, you know, the field battle, the position battle constantly. And you've got a defense that's basically starting from their own, you know, the 50-yard line, maybe, you know, within the 40. And you're asking them and saying, hey, you know, we just had a minute and 30 drive, but we're going to go ahead and need you to go out there and, you know, do what you do. And after a while, you know, there's going to be issues. And I think when you really look at it, I mean, when you're looking at a lot of run defense, a lot of teams this year are having some trouble stopping the run. I don't know if that's because of all the opt-outs with COVID and the fact that a lot of the big guys in the middle decided to opt out, whatever it may be. Maybe it's just the fact that defenses really aren't putting as big of a value on stopping the run. I don't know what it is, but you know, obviously stopping the run is an issue with this team. But at the same time, you know, and I saw it last night too, people blaming the defense, and it all goes back to the same thing. The offense scored 3 points the entire game. Yeah. I mean, the reality, I don't care how good a defense is, the reality of it is, and especially in a game last night, if you continue to put pressure on your defense from your offense, because they lack any sort of competency at all, these are the issues that are going to happen. And again, in the run game, when your defense is consistently out on the field, after a while, you're going to wear down. I mean, the tackling hasn't been as good, but again, I mean, these are signs of a tired defense. These are signs of a demoralized defense because they know that their offense can't do anything. And if they're not getting turnovers and if they're not going three and out and having these dominating drives, then all of a sudden they're putting their team in a worse hole because of the offense. So I think a lot of this, again, I hate to keep circling back to it, but a lot of this, again, I think is circling back to the fact that their offense is so bad right now. It's affecting the entire team, including a really good defense. I still think the Bears have a top five defense with or without, you know, a good run defense, but with such a bad offense, those numbers are going to start to drop a little bit because they just cannot continue to hold the way that they've been holding.
Agree. Aaron, it's made me laugh every time I hear people say, you know, this Bears team, they're confounding. I don't really know what they are. We know exactly what they are. And I think part of that seems to be that they're going to have issues with teams that can put up points. If you're a top 10 team, the Bears are going to have some problems there. And they're going to beat up on some of the lower level teams. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the thing. I mean, the Bears have been the same team for going on 2 years now. I mean, we've seen it. The offense is bad. The defense is good. And, I mean, really the only thing that is somewhat inconsistent is how are they going to perform? Because it's like, you know, we can sit here and talk about, you know, that they seem to play down. I mean, we're talking about, you know, they played a Falcons team. They were down big to a Falcons team that's 1-6 right now, you know. And that, don't even get me started on that Lions game last week. That was insanely terrible. But either way, you know, and that's kind of the thing. I think the inconsistency is a little bit more this year because, to me, you know, the way that they beat the Lions and the way that they beat the Falcons, and then you compare that to how they beat the Panthers, where really they were up for the, you know, they were up for that game. They, you know, they controlled pretty well for the majority of it. Obviously, they took, took handle of the game late and then kind of gave up a little bit at the end. But they had control of that game for the most part. And the Panthers, you know, you look at their record, and it's going to say 3-4. Panthers are actually a pretty surprising team this year. I would say that just because of the division that they're in, I mean, they've gotten a little unlucky. I would say that the Panthers are a vastly better team than the Lions or the Falcons right now. But again, when you look at how the Bears have handled things this year, it's the same thing with the Bucs. It's like, I don't understand how the team that we watched last night on Monday Night Football get blown out and completely dominated for a full 60 minutes is the same team that beat Tampa Bay, where Tampa Bay, you're looking at Tampa Bay, and it's like they have had some really, really good games. I don't know if it was a fluke, but again, that's the thing. With this Bears defense, you just don't know. You don't know how they're going to react. I mean, they could come out and beat New Orleans in a similar way, and all of a sudden we're talking about a 6-2 team, and it's like, that's the issue, though. That's the issue with the Bears is you get so wrapped up and you look at the record and you're like, okay, well, I don't know how they're winning games, but they're winning games. Or, you know, they're 5-2, they're 5-1, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. You know, whether your reaction was last week, whether your reaction is today, they're still 5-2 right now. And You know, but you look at it, and it's like, how are they winning games? But at the same time, it's like they continue to win these games. And it, like I said, unless things really hit the fan, this is probably a 9 or 10 win team just because of what they have in front of them. I mean, that's just because of how good of a start they got off to, especially within the conference. They're 5-1 in the conference right now. I mean, that alone is going to win them a lot of tiebreakers in the wild card, and especially with how the division looks and some of the other games that they have. I mean, they're in a good spot. But when you look at it, it's like, yeah, I mean, they should beat bad teams. I will agree with you there. But the problem is even if they beat the bad teams, are we going to be sitting there having heart palpitations at the end of the game? Because once again, they couldn't make it easy, and they couldn't hold on to a lead, or they had to come back at a game. I don't know. And then there's going to be those games where, you know, Tampa Bay was a game that I had them with a loss. Could we be sitting there on Sunday night looking at our TVs and saying, how did they just beat the New Orleans Saints? How did they just beat Drew Brees? That's the thing. It's, we know who they are. They're not a good offensive team. They're a very good defensive team. But it's hard to predict how they're going to – and that's kind of the thing, right, is you look at how they've started games, and that can usually give you a pretty good indication of, you know, how the game is going to go and how comfortable you can be. Because if they get off to a decent start, if they score right out of the gate, whether that was a defensive touchdown or whether that was an offensive touchdown against the Giants and they, you know, held the lead throughout the game, you can usually feel pretty comfortable. But if it's like Tampa Bay where you get down 13 points, or the Detroit game, the Atlanta game, you just don't know. It's a matter of – you know, what team is going to show up really in the first half? Because it seems like outside of this Rams game, the second half hasn't been a big issue. So I would agree with the overall thought process that, yeah, we know that the offense is terrible and the defense is still really dang good. I just, the bigger piece of the puzzle right now is, how are they going to get to the, you know, when they win the game or when they lose it, it's like, how are they going to get to that point? Is it going to be some inconsistent thing? Are they just going to get completely drugged like they did, you know, against the Rams and really to a certain extent the Colts? Or is it going to be one of those back and forth games where we're looking back on it saying, how did they win that game? That is the unpredictable part. And I think a lot of that has to do to me that I think a lot of that has to do with coaching. It seems like sometimes they just don't get up, and it's just, it's mind-blowing. It's a roller coaster, but it's not a fun roller coaster. It's one of those stressful ones where you get off the ride and you're like, that was kind of cool, but at the same time, I don't want to do that again.
That's Aaron Lemming, at Aaron Lemming NFL on Twitter. Check out his work, bearreport.com. I'm sure that was cathartic. You feel better now, right, Aaron?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I got a few articles done this morning, man, and it was like, I did that, and I got those out of the way. I'm like, all right, I think I can move on now. And now I don't have to think about anything until, you know, it gets closer to game day. We'll see. We could be talking again in a week or two, and maybe the Bears have rattled off two wins again, and we're wondering how it happened. It's just, this is one of those
years. Yes. Well, let's check back in next week and see how things go with the Saints. Thank you, Aaron. That's Aaron Lemming. Yeah, I'm absolutely. Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score, and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.